611 once welcome, always welcome. You're listening to Morning Devotion.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Peace be with you. Brothers and sisters online, peace be with you. The chapter we're reading today, if we don't read correctly, it will trouble us a lot. Because there are many things that are similar to our situation. Sometimes when we read this chapter, we might avoid some of the things. Sometimes we want to stay objective and try to to avoid all the impacts on us. Actually, everything is related to us. But when you read this chapter, actually it's quite deep in a way. God has given me a special character. That is to dig deeper into the scripture. So I spent a few days to read this chapter. And I also spent some time talking to the AI online to make sure my thoughts are thorough and clear. But for me, I think most important thing is to go deep and share simply. So it depends on our way of digesting this. So if we do not digest this chapter properly, it will be very very solid food, very hard to share with others and make it like a very deep thing. But the Word of God should be shown clearly. May God have mercy on us and open our heart and give us the desire for His Word. Yesterday we talked about that the Corinthian church was like the baby. It was like only drinking milk. But the church was at the age of 10, 15, and still drinking milk only. And it lacked the ability to have solid food. She could not digest or enjoy food by herself. She was always fed by others. So when the church read the Bible, she could not understand always. This is a similar situation to me sometimes as well. You know, when we read the scripture, sometimes we don't understand. We need to pray. Maybe you know every single vocabulary in the Bible, but when you put together all the words, you just don't understand or you don't know how it related to yourself. So we need to pray. So in this word of black, the black color, in black, in red, we have to understand them. All the words that are on the paper, we read them, we expect them to jump up and speak to us. We pray that God will help us. So the words will become flesh to us, will become vivid to us. It's not only about the scripture, it's also about us as a reader. For example, we want to be recognized by others. We want to be affirmed by others. Anyone who does not want to be affirmed by others, no, right? Like the words from Paul today. Sometimes the word of Paul is quite, you feel quite sharp and it's like demanding to us. So we cannot go on reading because it's too painful to us. So our hearts is shut off. So we need to open our hearts. Sometimes we hear something from the Bible that are difficult to accept. May God give us the hearts to receive these words that are difficult to listen to and to carry this word. May God help us. Yesterday we explained that why the Church of Corinthians was like a baby, because the church has a lot of behaviors was like a baby. When you are a baby, you would not realize that you are a baby. The baby would have feelings, they would cry because they want to eat, have some, you feel hungry. But the baby would not have a concept of self until the baby see her own fingers. When she realized she has her own feet, she can put her feet in, put her foot in her mouth, then she would realize that the body is part of her. And after she enters into 2 years old, we call the 2 years old baby a terrible two, because it's quite terrible when the baby gets to two, because she wants to be autonomous. She wants everything around her. She wants to own everything. So it's a period of growth. So for many people, when they go through adolescence, they are still going through the baby period. But when we grow further, we will go into a new stage. So who are we? Who am I? So we still have puzzling with this kind of question. This is called the big question of identity. Who am I? And many people do not know who they are. They will tell you who their fathers and mothers are. So when people know their father and mother, they would know who she or he is. Why there are so many factions, why they are divided in the Church of Corinthians? When someone say that I belong to Apollo, the person might feel more secure. When the person say I belong to Paul, he's the founder of the church, the apostle, and someone who knows the Bible. Someone say, I belong to Peter. And that means he is the a man of orthodoxy. Or maybe someone would say, I belong to a philosopher of Greece. You know, when you say that I belong to someone, that is to get an affirmation for your identity. Actually, you still lost when you want to say that I belong to somebody, because you cannot say who you are. So you have the person who say that I belong to Paul. It's like he's telling the people who he is through Paul. He doesn't know who he is really in Christ, the growing identity in Christ. So when we say to others who we are, when we say to others that we belong to someone, actually we don't feel secure about ourselves. So in church, in schools, there are lots of bullies. So we are a small group. We find our own identity. Because you belong to this small group, you think you have the special strength. So you can bully others, and you can gang up at people. We don't want to play with that person, and we want to gang up at that person. And for those people who are like being ganged up at by others, they will build their own small group as well. Like you have 10 people, I will have 15 people. We are bigger than you and we are stronger than you. So these are the division. So whether you are Christian or not, you see these kind of divisions in the society. Or even in the marketplace, you see that you will be discriminated because you're Christian. So you have more obstacles because of your identity. But if you really believe that you belong to Christ, you want to pray for the company every time, every day when you go to the company, go back to the office. You pray for the interpersonal relationship in the company. You pray for all the people who are divided. Then we will bring Christ into our community. You will see changes in the life of the people around you. But when we face persecution, oppression, we feel insecure in us. But we have never thought that Christ is greater than every situation. And for prayer is more powerful than any debates or arguing. So for these people who say that they belong to a group, they also want to emphasize that they have certain talents or gifts, especially some gifts that are prominent. So like some gifts that are very respected by others, so they will get the respect with the gifts from others. So this is the wrong way to exercise your gifts. You want to gain respect from others. So for some churches, they don't want to look for gifts. But actually, gifts are given by God. It's a tool that given by God to build churches. So if we don't exercise our gifts, it's very hard to build the churches. But if you use these gifts to show off yourself, that's not also the will of God as well. So may God give us a healthy heart that we can be balanced. So in chapter 4 today, I want to give it a title that is a father who lifted up his palm but did not slap on the child. So this is Paul lifting up his hand wanting to slap but not slapping the child. So you when you talk about the Church of Corinthians, it's a child that is worthy to be slapped on. To be punished, because they are a group of people, of children of flesh. But many of us are like them. But we see the hearts of Paul. First, he doesn't want to hide things. What he sees, he will speak of it. Before he speak on the topics, he would pray for the church. But he is a realist. He doesn't turn corners. But he is not trying to lift himself up. We see in chapter 4 that Paul is really, really humble himself. For example, in the first paragraph, from verse 1 to 5, just verse 1, let a man so consider us as the servants of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. We think it's a leader very often that we are the leaders of God, but actually it's the servants. How can we be the leader of Christ, right? We cannot say we are the leaders of Christ. We don't say that. How can we lead Christ? So here servants, it means that. And here servants means that it's like the people in Rome. So these are the slaves on those long boats in Rome. They are the paddler. They paddle the boats. They are the slaves to paddle the boats. They are the servants. The original text means under Osman. So Osman is the paddlers, the people who paddle on the boat. What does it mean to be under? That means it's the lower deck, very close to the water level. Because the boat is above the water level. So the captain would give the signal. And the oarsman below would paddle according to the signal. So someone will hold to the rudder. And then the boats will go on. So we belong to Christ, and we are the under oarsman for Christ. We are the slaves. It's like the slaves. So Paul, who is Paul speaking about? Paul is not speaking of himself as a great apostle. Rather, or he's not speaking of himself as a great spiritual giant or something. When he talks about what he wants to talks about in this chapter, he just say that he is the servant of Christ. When Christ wants him to paddle, he would paddle. And I want to spend a little more time here. One day there was a man. He wanted to surrender himself totally to God. So he prayed to God. And the Lord spoke to him. Behind your house, there was a big stone. Big. If you are willing to serve me, you want to humble yourself, you push this stone over, this rock over. You don't need to spend the whole day, but you need to push this rock. So this person pushes the rock every day. After half a year, the rock does not move a little. And then this man started to think to himself, did the Lord ask me to touch the rock, or did the Lord ask me to push harder? How come he's not moving the rock? After a few more months, he felt more frustrated. Then he realized, to be the servants of Christ is like this. It's like wasting time. Nothing is changed. So finally, he would pray to Christ again. And then Jesus said to him, I asked you to push the rock, but I did not ask to move the rock. You pray and you observe and see me how I move the rocks. And then Jesus just touched the rock and the whole rock moved all of a sudden. So this is talking about our relationship with the Lord. For example, this week we're having a special youth conference, right? We want revival for every youth, and we want to experience miracles from the Lord. But what is challenging to us is our relationship with the Lord. Are we the one who is willing to surrender totally to God? Or are we trying so hard by ourselves to push the rock and thinking that we can move it? We think that we try so hard to share the gospel, when something happens, it's our merits. But Paul is trying to change our perspective. When Paul says that I am the servant of the Christ, Christ is the captain. When Christ gives me the signal, then I will know how to use my strength. I make every move in response to my Lord. And this boat does not depend on me. Because there are many people on these boats. We have to do everything simultaneously. So, and we need to have synchronous movement. So, then the boat will move together, will move forward. We are the servants of Christ. And people should know us in this perspective. And we pray to God that we will also look at ourselves in this perspective. No one is a giant here. And he also said that he is the steward of the mystery of God. Steward is also a slave. He's not the master. Steward is like someone who are given the authority to manage. But the steward does not possess what he has. He's managing what he has. So he does what the master says to him, like Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Joseph has everything in his hand, but he does not belong to him. But he can serve loyally to Potiphar. So in verse 1, Paul is very clear about himself. He explains everything. So what can we boast about ourselves? What can we boast about ourselves? What are the gifts we can boast about? We are all the slaves of God, waiting for the Lord to signal us to do something. We live for Christ daily. And verse 3, it talks about judgment. Paul said, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, brothers and sisters, do you think it's a small thing? When someone is judging you behind of you, you think it's a small thing? When someone is judging you before you, straight to your face, do you think it's a small thing? Some people think that they cannot be judged, even one sentence is too much. And do we judge others? Actually, we judge others all the time on our mind. After eating the fruits of the knowing good and evil, we always try to judge others. When we listen, then we make judgments. When we see things happen, we will make judgment. But to Paul, I see it as a small thing. In here, we see how big Paul is. He is a great capacity. He's a big heart. One word does not occupy his heart. So it's like just like a small sand, a grain of sand. And in fact, I do not even judge myself. That's what Paul said. You know, when we judge others, actually we're judging ourselves as well. So it's like, he's like that, she's like that, and actually it's, I'm like that, I don't like that. But Paul here, he says, I don't even judge myself. How can someone be like that? In verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the time. There should be a timeline. We should know there's a timeline. Until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. But before the judgment of the Lord comes, we make a lot of judgments ourselves and many noises in our mind. And we pray to God that God will calm all these noises in us. Paul said, we know that it's the Lord who can judge me. That's the relationship between him and the Lord. He has this identity in Christ. And he knows he can be justified by faith. So he doesn't care about what other judge of him. We pray that we can grow like into this kind of life. Recently I heard from my cell members that something happened in his family. It's about his children, a child. So his child started a de facto relationship with his girlfriend, and he stopped going to church. And then he started to take horse riding lessons and ask money from the family. So there are many issues from this child. And the financial situation of the family is under pressure. And then all of a sudden, recently I received a message from this person. Oh, his son actually broke up with the girlfriend. Now he returned home to live. So he doesn't have to pay extra rent anymore. So all of a sudden, everything changed. And he doesn't go for a horse riding lesson anymore. He doesn't have to pay this kind of extravagant expenses. So I say to him, oh, let's pray for your child. We pray for a God-loving girlfriend for him. So for this little child, I think it's a good thing that he has chosen his own path. It's a good experience for him, because he knows what he's looking for himself. But of course, he's still a child, because all the mistakes he made, they are paid by his parents. Of course, we don't want to judge others, because we don't want to put people in the box. We never know how people will become. After turning a corner, the person can be changed completely. So many decisions we make is just for the moment. Actually, we are only interacting with the current situation. So we are like the dust in the wind. We are blown by the wind all the time. So we cannot just make random decisions. We are the people belonging to Christ. We have a light from Christ. You know, the eyes of the Lord is upon, they are upon us. God has given us great freedom. He listens to our prayer, but we have to be serious with the Lord. So when the judgment of the Lord comes, it's not about like what you do on certain day, on certain hours. Rather, it's your whole life, how you spend your whole life. That's the day that we will face the Lord. So only until that day you can face the Lord with ease. And all the things that in darkness are shown by the Lord, you still have a peace of heart. Then you are the person of Christ. So don't judge others and don't judge yourself. We are in the timeline of Christ. And I want to go to the second point. I want to show a little PPT, but it's all words. So my title today is "The Father with the Hand Ready to Slap." He wants to slap on the child, but he doesn't. He wants to speak to these Corinthians who are always arguing. From verse 6 to 13, second paragraph is, for the sake of Christ, he is willing to be looked down. In verse 10, we are fools for Christ's sake. This is heart of Paul. As a pastor, we are fools for Christ's sake. not for our own sake, rather it's for the sake of the Church of Corinthians. It's for the sake of you. It's not for, but rather it's for the sake of Christ. This is the servant's heart of God, of the servants of Christ. You don't care about yourself. You don't care about how others judge you. For the sake of you, I commit this thing to myself and to Apollo. So is there any division between Paul and Apollo? So you know the Old Testament Bible very well. You got great anointing in pastoring. They don't judge each other's. They don't like have division between two of them. So they don't try to distinguish themselves from others. So Paul is saying to the people, to the Corinthians, you need to imitate me. You should be in unity for the sake of Christ. According to the word of God. So you need to submit your life to the word of God. So does the word of God ask us to be divided? No. Actually, the word of God is really punchy in terms of unity. It's really clear. So everyone's life is under the word of God. So I think it's only at the time of the a Greek era, the people would compare themselves. In the Old Testament, actually, people don't compare themselves to others. You don't see this kind of comparison among people. It's only in the Greek culture. So I need to hurry up a little bit because of time limit. So Paul is trying to not to encourage the boastful people, people who boast about themselves, who they belong to, what group of people they belong to, those boastful people. So what differentiate yourself from others? Paul is asking the congregations. So whatever you have, you receive from the Lord. You know, your whole life you receive from the Lord. Think about your childhood. You received nothing. You had nothing when you came to the world. And one day when you depart from the world, you also have nothing. So whatever you have every day, you should be grateful. It's also you receive from the Lord. Knowing that you can live tomorrow. Do you know that you can live tomorrow? No one knows. So today, when you can breathe, you can take a good breath, we should be grateful. You can not boast about yourself. So we jump back to verse 9. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostle last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. In verse 1, it talks about that we are the slaves paddling for the captain underneath. But in verse 9, it talks about that we are the end of the queue. You know, when we come to church, you feel insecure. One thing that you feel very insecure, that we are invisible. People cannot see us. You know, the authority cannot see us. We feel invisible. We feel that we are not valuable. We feel that it's meaningless. So they, for people like that, they feel that they are not showing off their gifts. They're not showing off what they have. But for Paul, he doesn't care if he is invisible or not. So he put himself at the back of the queue. he put all the rest of the people in the front, so that the work of God can be shown through them. He does not want to go to the front. He can go stay at the back. So from verse 10 to verse 13. So I spent a lot of time discussing with AI about these three verses. So in verse 10, it says that we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. And we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. So you think about in Acts how Paul experienced his life. So he had hardship, he worked very hard. When he was cursed, he would bless. When he was persecuted, he would put up with it. And when and we have been made as the filth of the world and the of scorning of all things until now. I think what Paul says about himself, you will not describe yourself. You do not want these things happen to you. This is the last thing you want to happen to you. Like being cursed by other, being defamed by other. But in here, we see the life of Paul. He just blessed others. He just wanted to put up with every persecution. He doesn't care if people see him as the filth of the world. So in here, is Paul being sarcastic? Or is he being sarcastic at the people in Corinthians? How is he talking about, like, you're looking at me like in this way? So is he healthy? Is Paul healthy inside of him? Like he's asking people to curse him and belittle him. It's like abnormal heart condition. But I think that the power of Paul is in here. He's not making fun of himself. When someone can make fun of himself like this, I think he's really great already. I cannot do that to myself. But Paul is not because other people make fun of him, then he would make fun of himself. Rather, he's showing the life of Christ. When you are humiliated, he does not speak back, talk back. So on the way of the cross, he just bless others. He does not curse. That's the life of Christ. That's the life of Paul in Christ. He's not making fun of himself. He's not like saying, oh, no, 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 no. But he's being serious. I am not. He's not trying to be polite. Because he lives a life that is according to the word that he teaches. So the way of Christ is being looked down by the Greek. But actually Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah of the whole world. Christ does not care to be at the bottom of everyone. Christ does not care about to be humiliated. The cross is a symbol of humiliation. So the whole concept is upside down. Because the fool in the Lord is the wisdom of the world. No matter you are Gentiles, you are Jews. This kind of life is a transforming life. So I want to encourage all the youth here, all the young people here. If you have the calling from God, you think you can transform the world? Let's learn from Paul and the lesson in here. This is a school of Paul here. Paul is not trying to go on a way of a spectacular way of life, but rather it's a very a humble life of Paul. So we go to the third paragraph. So it's a pain of the Father, but with a gentle power. So when Paul is facing this group of people in the Church of Corinthians, Paul is not making fun of these people. Actually, the heart of Paul is very affirming. He has a very gentle heart for these people. In verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. So Paul sees the people in the Church of Corinthians as the precious children, beloved children. So actually God speaks to us through Paul that we are the beloved children of God. Because Paul loves dearly the people in Corinthians church. So it's not just the young people who should imitate Paul. Actually, every generation of us should imitate Paul, the life of Paul. A life that are not afraid to be humiliated. That's the life of Paul. So Paul is asking the people to remember how he lives his life. And we jump to verse 19 now. 19. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. In verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So when Paul talking about power here, it's not about the power of deliverance or power of healing. It's rather is a power of being able to accept humiliation, a power of to be humble. This is the kind of people that can have a life in Christ, can withstand humiliation and withstand persecution, and can talk to the people who are the persecutors. So Paul is saying that I want to see how you can, for the sake of Christ, willing to suffer. This is the power of suffering. May God help us. And Paul speaking serious words to the people in the Church of Corinthians, but his heart is very gentle. May God help us to receive and to go after this kind of life in of heavens. Let us worship our God together. Hallelujah. Let's stand up together, brothers and sisters, and let's just think about our God. Our God is a God of gentleness and mercy. Lord, we want to worship you. splendor, majesty. Lord, we praise you, Lord. Lord, we want to be more like you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We want to be more like God. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to depend on you. Lord, I thank you. You are our beloved King. We want to praise you. Help us to receive strength through your word. We have way out. Let us lift up our voice and praise our God together. Oh, you are our beloved King. We thank you for guiding us. Give us way out and open doors for us. We are secure in you, O Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you. You are beloved King. You are the Lord of our life. You are the King of the whole world. You are the only God. We thank you. Thank you that your word guides us every day. We walk in it. We thank you. You give us life. Everything is your grace. We can become your daughter, your son, your beloved son and daughter. We thank you. Your word is so precious. We love you. Your word is so precious. We love you. As we follow you, Lord, we admit that. Very often, we have a lot of ego in us. We judge others. In a way, our mouth speaks of praise, but then in our hearts, there are many opinions. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Are we the people who always judge, make judgments? Or when people judge us, we become sleepless. We think that is so unfair. May God help us, Lord. Brothers and sisters, may we ask God to speak to us. If you know, God has given you a revelation. Your mouth, your lips, and your hearts make a lot of judgments often. I invite you to put your hand on your heart and open your mouth and confess to the Lord. Confess our sins to the Lord. In fact, every one of us needs to put our hand on our heart. Every one of us, every individual here, we always make judgments. Not even one who does not judge others. Oh God, have mercy on us. We are a group of people who love to judge others. Lord, forgive us our sins, O Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive us, Lord. We have a lot of opinions in our heart. We don't like that person, we don't like this person. And in all the things, we have a lot of opinions. We have a lot of our own thinking. We will judge this person and that person. Maybe we don't say it, but we keep it to ourselves, and we have a lot of stirring in our heart, and or we even gossip with others. Oh, forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us for our judging mouth, for our judgment. We have to see that we belong to you alone. We do not belong to this faction or that faction. We only belong to you. Oh Lord, forgive us that we do not have love for others. We do not bear the burdens for others. And when we are judged by others, we cannot stand it. We want to fight back. We want to attack back. And forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us. Lord, we want to commit our mouth and our hearts to you. We know that, Lord, you don't want us to judge. But very often, we always judge others from our own perspective, or from the perspective of the tree of knowing good and evil. So once again, we want to offer up our hearts and our mouth to you. Help us to see things through your perspective, Lord. So help us to accept the weakness of others. Lord, I want to commit all the cell leaders and all the parents to you. How much we love our sheep, how much we love our children, but they don't understand. So we feel upset inside of us. So if you are a parent or you are a cell leader, I want to invite you to come forward, come before the sage. Today is the Father's Day in Taiwan. I want to bless the fathers here, bless the cell leaders, the parents here. Actually, we have a love for our cell members, for our children. We want to love them, but they don't understand. When we love them, they even might hurt us with their words or humiliate us. I want you move forward. Move forward. So give more room to the people coming. And I want to encourage you to tell God about all the pains and hardships that you have experienced in your discipling work, in the cell group or in the discipling of your children. You commit them, these hardships to them. These children do not accept your teaching. They do not respect you. They belittle you or even hurt you. So all this shame and humiliation, you commit them to the Lord and ask God to heal you. Lord, as parents, we're standing here before you. And as cell leaders, we're standing before you. We have a lot of pains and heartbroken in us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us to pray. We want to commit all these hurts to you, Lord. Lord, you help every parents here, every spiritual parents here. We want to give back all the sorrow and the pain and our hardship back to you. You help us. Your spirit works among every brother and sister here. And you touch their hearts. and you touch them with your pierced hands. You heal their bleeding heart. You heal them. You strengthen their heart. Help them to focus on your word and your love. We are determined to have this faith of to come before the Lord and to receive the strength from the Lord and to receive the love from the Lord. Lord, we come before you loyally, and we want to commit our cell groups and our children to you. They do not belong to us. They belong to you. Even though they don't understand, we are willing to accept it. We are willing to continue to love. Even though we don't have any more love in our hearts, we are at the end of our rope. And because of the judgment from them, we feel that we cannot go on. And we pray that your healing will come from heaven and heal everyone here standing. We don't have any more love, but you have unlimited love from heavens. You pour down your love upon us. We need you, Lord. We are willing to suffer for you, for your sake. We pray that you give us the power of suffering, the power that we can willing to face humiliation. No matter how people treat us, how people belittle us, we're willing to go for you. We're willing to love again with your love, to love again with your love. We don't judge ourselves. Of course, we have weaknesses, but we thank you. We have the opportunity. We have this experience to understand your heart, to understand the heart of poor. Even the people in Corinthians are so terrible. Paul still loves them. And we are so terrible, but God, you still love us. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift up your voice and pray for your cell group members. Pray for your children. Pray that God will intervene. We pray for strength. We pray that we will have love. For those people who are fighting against us, who are misunderstanding, we have misunderstanding against us. We want to accept them completely. We say to God that you give us your love because we are out of love already. Oh Jesus, pour out your love on us. We want to continue, persevere. We want to persevere on gently. We want to be vessel. Take away all the unwillingness. Take away all the obstacles. We are willing, Lord. Let's pray together. We are willing, Lord. We are willing for your sake. We are willing, Lord. Thank you. Let's declare again. Lord, we honor you. We want to follow you. We want to imitate you. Today, Paul has set an example to us. He's the father of all the people in the Church of Corinthians. Help us, Lord, as Father, have the gentlest of love in you. We can have the ability to bear the burdens of others. Maybe for our children, they don't understand. They may even judge us or speak terrible words to us. But help us, O Lord, to have a heart that can accept others. We are willing to help them, to love them, and to provide for them. Help me, Lord, to be a father. Help us to be a father who is one. Not to punish, but to withstand and to bear our children. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord. And all the parents here before the stage, and parents and cell leaders, let's lift up your hands and receive this fatherly love from heaven. This wonderful, perfect love, flawless love, let us receive this love into our hearts, and then put your hearts on your heart and receive this perfect and flawless love. May your love fill all our cell leaders and our parents. For the sake of Jesus, we are willing to let go. We want to lay down and we want to walk on the path of Christ. It's a path of blessing. It's a path that is pleasing to the Lord. We want to thank you and praise you. I want to invite all the parents and cell leaders here and turn around and look at the young people and all the people who are not discipling others yet. As a senior generation, you go to them, you go to their seats and encourage them. And walk the path of humility. I want to invite all the parents, all the cell leaders to support the people at the seats and help them, encourage them to stand up together. All these people at the seat, they are the cell leader to be. Let's encourage them to stand up. We tell to God, as cell leader, as parents, we want to commit this young person. We want to commit him to you. We declare that we love each other. We have no division. We want to see our younger generation to be lifted up, and invite them to the front. We bring all the young people to the front. Any young people, snatch one and come and bring them to the front. We need to have a heart of the Father, a heart set to lift up the next generation, to raise up the next generation. So all the young people, accompanied by the parents or the cell leaders, let's come to the front. We want to pray for you, young people. We want to pray for you. Praise God that we have a older generation. We will not have any anxiety because we know our next generation will be raised up by God greatly. Let's lift up your hands and pray together. So every youth who joined this conference this today, and all the senior generation, they will experience the love of God greatly. Let us pray together. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, you take care of every participant in this special conference. They will receive more as the gentle launch starts today. They will receive more. They will carry this fire from the church, bring it back to their nation, bring it back to their family. Let everyone receive greatly from you. Lord, we want to commit all the co-workers and cell leaders to you. You give more love to them, the love of the Father, this fatherly love. You fill them with fatherly love so that they have the strength. They have the power from you. It's your power. It's not the word. It's the power. For those who are lost, you will turn them back to your house. You are pleased with us. We praise you and thank you. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your love in this whole venue, moving in this place. We thank you. This is our final day of conference, but your work will not cease, will never cease. Well, I invite you to put your hand on your heart right now. For the kingdom of God is not about word, it's about power. Lord, we want to receive. We want to receive the power of being able to withstand humiliation. For we are living for you. All the inheritance that you give us belong to you. We don't judge ourselves no more, even though we're not perfect. But we thank you because you accept us. So when we see others who have flaws, let us have this heart of the Father to accept, to care for them, to encourage them, to help them. When we hear criticism, we see it as a small matter. For Lord, you don't even judge us. Lord, our mind belongs to you. Because you have the values of the tree of life. You have the love of the tree of life in our heart. Removing all the shame and take away all the judgments of others. In the name of Jesus, I declare, I have this gentle and merciful heart. Gentle and merciful heart that can withstand humiliation. And we can accept and care. Lord, your love feels deeply in our heart. So in every situation, every problem, we do not judge. We will withstand humiliation. We will be gentle. We will be merciful. Every one of us here is like a tree of life. We lift out your image. In the name of Jesus, I bless every brother and sister here. The love of Christ fill you and pour down to you and remove all the shame in you. Remove all the judgment in you. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you are beloved and everything belongs to you. We'll have good relationship with you. Broken relationship will be healed, will be restored. And all the walls will be taken down. God will bless you. May you have the love of the Lord. And the gentleness and the mercy of God will fill you greatly. And everything you do, you will do it with joyful heart. You will do it with hope. And you will be pleasing to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. Amen.